Holy God in heaven, we thank you for being our God. Thank you for waking us up this morning. We praise you and adore you as our King and as our God. Thank you, Father, for all your blessings. Be with us now, Father, as we look into your word. I pray, Lord, it will transform us to be the men and women that you've called us to be. We thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. I am the rabbi for the day. Rabbi means teacher. Last week, we started talking about the scriptures and the songs we sing. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Believe it or not, this is my favorite hymn in the entire songbook. And you guys are going to sing this hymn at my funeral. I will not be there, but you will be there. I love this song because I believe it is very powerful. Holy, holy, holy. Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up, and I will show you what must soon take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald and circled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Oh, I love this passage. You need to pray for me because I got to teach and not preach. This hymn was composed by a man named Reginald Heber. He was a bishop in the Church of England. He actually wrote several other hymns, and he died at a very young age, at 43. So when he died, his wife took, you know, she found some other lyrics that he had written, and she gave it to this guy called John B. Dykes. He was the one that arranged the hymn for publication. And so Reginald Heber wrote the hymn, but John B. Dykes, after Heber's death, arranged the song that we all sing today. And very quickly, let's go through the words. We're going to sing it during the service. It says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, or crystal sea, same thing. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. The verses we just read in Revelation 4 were the inspiration for these words. You can see them right there. And like Bishop said to us last week, he gave us some passages even last week that we can go back and write our own hymns. Amen? Amen. This is good. You can be a songwriter. Amen? Amen? I know some of us went to poetry, and that's great. But there are a lot of scriptures that you and I can actually, you know, put to song and start writing those words out. That's what this man did. Holy, in the Greek, is the word hagios. Hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S. It means most holy thing. That's what the cherubim and the seraphim and all the elders are saying in heaven. In Revelation 4. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You will find that word 584 times in the Bible, in the NIV. That's a lot of times. It's all over the place. 222 times in the New Testament. In the book of Acts alone, it appears 52 times. In Revelation, 23 times. The word hagios shows up in the New Testament in every book in the New Testament except for Galatians, James, 2nd and 3rd John. It's all over the place from beginning to end as far as the Bible is concerned. Are you with me? Talking about the holiness of God and who He is. Huh, okay. Right on top of that, the part you cannot see, it tells us in Revelation 4 that the elders and the beings in heaven are worshiping God. They're falling down before Him. So worship in the Greek is the Greek word proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. Proskuneo. Okay? It means to prostrate and show reverence. It means to fall upon the knees as an expression of profound reverence. To pay homage and to express respect. That's what these beings are doing in heaven, day and night, before the Almighty God. Are you with me? Very, very important. Like I said, that word means worship, means proskuneo, to prostrate, to show reverence before the Almighty King. The question I want us to ask ourselves, even as we continue in this class, is do we show reverence when we approach the throne of God? Are we fully engaged when we're worshiping God, understanding the presence of the person that you and I have come in front of? This ain't the White House.
This ain't the United Nations. This is not the Supreme Court. We're talking about the throne room where God dwells. Are you with me? And all they're doing, day and night, like we just read in Revelation 4, is paying homage to God. And they're falling down before him. They're prostrating themselves. Amen? That's why, brothers and sisters, I think it's very important when we come to church that we prepare ourselves. That yes, we're meeting in this theater, in this school, but I want you in your mind to picture the throne of God. That's who you and I are in front of every time we gather to worship. Amen? That's why, you've heard me say this before, I think it's very rude to come in late to come worship God. You can arrive late. If anything, we need to arrive early. Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
You know, I've heard it said that, yeah, this is one of those things that in our church, not just here, I'm talking of worldwide, that, yeah, we always come late. I think it's an insult to the Almighty. That shouldn't be. As children of God, when we come preparing our minds to worship God, amen? Where we come, we get here early and we're ready to engage in worship. You know, some of us, we love to go to the symphony and to the opera. And one of the things I've been to, a few, okay? Symphony is not my thing. Opera is not my thing. I love listening to the music. But what happens is, when you show up, obviously you have an assigned seat, and you need to be in your seat when the production starts. As a matter of fact, also when the production starts, there can't be any talking. I mean, if you start talking, some people are going to be giving you glances. Like, would you be quiet? There's an etiquette. Are you with me? Even in a situation like that, how about when we're approaching the throne of God?
Amen.
There's got to be reverence. Where, okay, for some reason, you know, you had to change the last minute, so you came in late. Come in quietly and find your seat. That's not the time to walk in. Hi. How you doing? It's like, I'm trying to worship God. It's a distraction to other people. If anything, take your seat in the back and be quiet. Amen? Because we're trying to worship the creator of the universe. Amen? I'm going to keep going here. Holiness describes the majesty of God. Holiness describes the purity and moral perfection of God's nature. Obviously, we all know that holiness is one of God's attributes. Holiness is an essential part of God's nature. God's holiness is absolute freedom from anything evil. God himself is the essence of moral purity. And you can look that up in your spare time, 1 John 1:5. I mean, can you imagine a place where everything is perfect? There is no stain. There is no blemish. That's where God dwells. That's what holiness is all about. There's no stain in him. It's perfect. Heaven is a holy place. And only holy people will reside there. Amen? We're going to talk about how Jesus makes us holy through his sacrifice in a second. But this is very serious. This is cool. I like this. The fact that we're talking about a place that you and I cannot even, our brains cannot even fathom it. You know, the closest thing I could think about, and you engineers understand what I'm talking about, is something that is called a clean room. Where microchips and stuff, where they're manufactured. These guys, you see them, they're in all these, you know, suits. And the number of dust and particles in the air compared to the area is very minute. Because any single impurity or dust will mess up that object that they're trying to produce. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of places, a lot of clean rooms, you find robots doing this stuff. Okay, that's the closest thing that I can even think of in our context in terms of how clean and perfect heaven is. You know, right now as we're looking through the air, everything looks clean, right? But you and I cannot see the dust particles. There are a lot of dust particles flying around as you and I are seated here. You usually see it sometimes at night, you know, with a lens. And all of a sudden, you say, wait a second, look at all that dust behind that person. Particles floating around in the air. Imagine a place where it's just perfect. That's where God is dwelling. That's what this is talking about. Are you with me? Now, back in the Old Testament, this is just a cross-section of what the temple was like. This is kind of the Gentiles outside, the entrance. You'll make your way in here. This was the altar of sacrifice and also the bronze basin. And then this section in the temple was called the holy place. It contained the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the 7 golden lampstand. And then there was another section called the most holy place, or the holy of holies. Okay? That was where the Ark of the Covenant was. And Aaron's rod and, you know, the manna that they ate when they came out of Egypt. Are you with me? Now, there was a curtain over here. All right? That once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest will come in and offer sacrifice on behalf of his sins and the sins of the entire nation. But he did it just once a year on the Day of Atonement. The Jews call it Yom Kippur. Are you with me? And why? Because it represented where God dwelt. You couldn't just say, hey, how you doing? Let me go say hi to the Almighty today and just walk in there. God will strike you dead. You couldn't just walk in there. And only the high priest could do it once a year. I'm talking about the Holy of Holies. Are you with me? Now, when Jesus died, something significant happened. And that is what makes Christianity different from any other religion. Remember, back in the Old Testament, again, you couldn't just approach God and come before God. This stuff we just read about in Revelation 4, you just couldn't walk in there. When Jesus died, the Bible tells us that this curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. I mean, we got some nice curtains in here. Imagine this black curtain back here, okay? One single thread. God tore it open, signifying that you and I, we can now approach God. Because through his death, he made us holy. Are you with me? And the exciting thing is, the Bible teaches that he is now our high priest, interceding for us every day before God. Isn't that cool? Because of his sacrifice, we were made holy. And so, we can now approach the mercy seat of God. That's exciting to me. That's the only reason we're going to heaven. It's not because of anything we've done or we will ever do. Amen? And so, every time we worship, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we're coming into the throne room. We're coming into a holy place. We're approaching a holy God. Amen? And we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare our minds and fully engage ourselves when we're worshiping God. You know, again, back in the Old Testament, all these furnishings, the altar, the offerings, even the camp had to be holy. You can write this reference down, Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. We're talking about approaching a holy God. Everything we need that comes in contact with him has to be holy. Are you with me? Let's keep going. Because God is holy, everything he does is holy. Everything about God is absolutely holy. You remember Exodus chapter 3, verse 5? When Moses was minding his own business and God showed up. And what did God say to him? He says, take your shoes off. Because the place you are standing is holy ground. Same bush that had been there all the time. But what made that place holy? Because God showed up. He said the same thing to Joshua. To take his sandals off. In Joshua chapter 5. You can write that reference down from verses 5 to 15. You see, when God shows up any place, that place becomes holy.
Come on.
It's got to. By definition and by his nature. Because remember, he will never come in contact with anything that is blemished, that is not perfect. Amen? I'm going to give you a bunch of references. Psalm 11, verse 4. It talks about the Lord is in his holy temple. Psalm 11, verse 4. Psalm 46, verse 4. Psalm 46, verse 4 says, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Psalm 47, verse 8 says, God is seated on his holy throne. And Psalm 110, verse 3. Psalm 110, verse 3, talks about how God is arrayed in holy majesty. Amen? Now, he said, what does this got to do with us? Everything. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Amen? Because God is holy, you and I are meant to be his children. God calls us to be holy. Notice, that is not a suggestion. That is not if you feel like it. That is not if you're having a good day. It's a command from the Almighty. Amen. That you and I are to be holy because he's holy. Amen? The question is, can people see the holiness of God in us? That's the issue. We're God's children. If you and I are meant to look like our Father, can people see that in us? In other words, where is the family resemblance? You know, one of the biggest complaints about Christianity that I hear people talk about is the fact that Christians are hypocrites. In other words, they say something and do something else. What they're really saying is that you and I are not like God. Because God is not a hypocrite. God is a holy God. And so when people say, oh, these guys are, you know, they're just a bunch of hypocrites, whether, you know, you talk just like everybody else and you're using foul language, whatever it is, they're asking, where's the family resemblance? If you claim to serve God, where's the holiness? Just like they see in God. Are you with me? There needs to be a family resemblance. You know, I love to, when I meet people, and, you know, somebody's introducing me, even before they introduce me, I say, you know what, you guys are brothers and sisters, right? I can see the resemblance. Sometimes, you know, there's very little resemblance. Are you sure you guys are, you know, same mom, same pop? I say, yeah. But he looks like grandpa. Oh, okay, no problem. But you got their DNA. You understand what I'm talking about? But there's a resemblance there. There needs to be a resemblance when it comes to holiness. Amen? Amen. Exodus chapter 22, verse 31 says that you and I are to be a holy people. It's a command from God. In Psalm 15, it says, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from the heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent, Whoever does these things will never be shaken. You see, the psalmist is asking here, who is it that can come before the throne of God? Who is it that can come into the most holy place, into the holy of holies? He says, it's people like this that our walk has to be blameless. We're righteous. We speak the truth from our hearts. Our tongue does not slander people. We do no wrong to our neighbor. We cast no slur on anybody. You know, and the amazing thing is, all this stuff that we do as humans, God is recording everything. I don't know about you, that's the scary part. There's going to be a lot of evidence on us. Nothing is going to be missing. Now, praise God because of Jesus. Because through his death, we've been made holy. That's the only reason you and I are going to get in. It's not because of anything we've done or we will ever do. It is his sacrifice that makes us holy. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, talking about God, he says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Don't we feel like this sometimes? You know, when we see evil going on, we're asking, God, where are you? But the Bible says here, God is too pure to look on evil. There is a place and a time for everything. One day, every human being is going to have to give an account for what they did on this earth. And I don't know about you, that's very comforting. Because what that tells me is that nobody gets away with anything. Amen? Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week when, you know, those two brothers set off those bombs in Boston. Who said, there can't be a God. Why would God let that kind of stuff happen? You see, to me, the amazing thing is, men do evil, but God gets blamed for it. God is not evil. He never has been. Okay? Those two boys are going to pay for what they did. Okay? The older brother has already started paying. That's what my Bible says. Okay? They think, oh yeah, we're doing this hard, and you know somehow we're going to get to the other side and have all these virgins. Right. I don't know what they're reading, but his punishment has already started. Are you with me? And so nobody gets away with anything. There's going to be a day of reckoning where people are going to have to answer for everything that they've done and thought. And then the Bible says, if we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we get a chance to spend eternity with God in this holy place where the streets are like gold. Is that clear? And that's why there is really nothing in this world worth dying for. If you and I really understand what we're about to experience on the other side. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 14, it says, make every effort to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This is one of the most scariest passages in the entire Bible, in my opinion. It says, without holiness, you are not going to see God. It's not possible. Notice, it doesn't say without your spouse's holiness. It doesn't say your kids or your friend. Without your holiness, you will not see God. Amen? Amen. This is scary. I mean, Mike Rowell with the brothers referred to this passage at midweek service. And he referred to another passage, and I'm sitting there going, hey, bro, you're using my scriptures. But that's how the Holy Spirit always works. Because I had no idea what he was going to be talking about. But God wanted the brothers to start hearing this on Thursday night. And we did. Amen? Amen. It's all about holiness. It says, make every effort. Again, that's a command. If it was easy, it would just happen. Amen? We are called to live a holy life. 2 Timothy 1:8 is a call to live a holy life. 1 Corinthians 1:2, called to be his holy people. Romans 1:7, called to be his holy people. Ephesians 1:1, to God's holy people. That's the way he addresses the church. Philippians 1:1, to God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:2, to God's holy people in Colossae. We're called a holy people. We're a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Very important. Amen?
Amen.
I got to keep moving here because I'm going to keep to my time. Because God is holy, God hates sin. Period. He said, why? Our sin caused God his son. That's how serious it is. Your sin, my sin, caused Jesus to die. Now, praise God, he resurrected. God said that was going to happen. But it caused God his son. Would you allow somebody to die? Would you sacrifice your child for your friend, let alone your enemy? That's what God did for us in Jesus.
Amen.
Because God hates sin, you and I need to hate sin. Because God is holy, we need to hate sin. Amen? Very, very important. That's why when we sin, our sin grieves the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us. Notice, again, he's called the Holy Spirit. When you and I sin, we grieve that spirit. God is very upset about it. And that's why we need to hate sin. Because God is holy, he cannot ever tempt us to sin. James 1 verse 13 talks about that. You can't say, well, God is tempting me. God cannot be tempted by evil. It's not possible. Amen? God hates sin in saint and sinner alike. He does not hate sin in one person and overlooks it in the life of another person. He doesn't play favoritism that way. Again, what is sin? Sin is transgression against God. Because God is holy, holiness on our part is not an option. Our salvation is a call to holiness. And I stuck in Isaiah 46 verse 6 because it talks about how all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before him. All our righteous acts, that passage talks about, are like filthy rags before God. In other words, it's not anything that you and I do that makes us holy. It is Jesus that makes us holy.
Amen.
Are you with me? Now, because we understand that sacrifice, we do not deliberately continue to sin. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian now. Well, God makes me holy anyhow, so let me just continue to live my life. No. You don't get it. You don't understand grace. Because if you did, you wouldn't continue to live that sinful life. Because God is holy, holiness is necessary for effective service to God. When you and I make ourselves clean vessels, God will use us. Okay? Every time you have a meal, what do? You get a clean plate. I'm assuming that. You know, when dishes pile up in the sink, somebody's got to clean them or put them into the dishwasher, right? It's very important. I mean, if I left a dish in the sink for 3 days, and then you show up at my house, hey, it's good to see you. What do you want? You want some chicken? I got some chicken. I can warm it up real quick, and I just grab one of those dishes from inside the sink. He goes, hey, Richard, what's going on? Hey, it's nice chicken. It's like, do you have a clean plate? That's what you would say to me, right? What do you think God says to us? God uses clean vessels. Just like we use clean plates. It's very important. Holiness is very necessary and very important to effective service to God. Dwight Moody once said, a holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They just shine. There's a lot of truth to that. You see, people should be able to see God's holiness in us. People should be able to tell that we're God's children. Yes, we're going to falter. Yes, we're going to sin. Psalm 66 verse 18 talks about how we need to confess it. We need to get it out. In Psalm 32 verses 3 to 4, David said, when I kept silent, my bones rotted away. When you are in sin, you are not holy. You need to find a disciple, somebody that can help you. You need to confess it. And you need to repent of it. You need to confess it to somebody that can really help you. Because you're trying to be holy. Because God sees my holiness. God sees your holiness. Amen? There's another song that we like to sing around here. And we're going to sing it during the worship. It's called Sanctuary. It says, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. In other words, to be a place where you can dwell. Pure and holy. Tried and true. With thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Now, the song has a very nice tune. But I hope that's not all you're hearing. When you're singing that song. You're saying, when you and I sing that song, just like holy, 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 we're saying, God, here I am. Again, the Bible encourages us in Timothy to lift up holy hands. We got to do that more in this church. Some of us are so concerned about who's looking. Nobody's looking at you. We're singing this song. Do you want to stand and put your hands up? Praise God. Say, well, I didn't grow up like this. Well, you better start reading the Bible. I didn't ask you how you grew up. Amen? Amen. We're now God's children. There needs to be a holiness there. There needs to be a reverence. You and I are called to consecrate ourselves and to be holy. Leviticus 11 verse 44 and Leviticus 19 verse 2. Very, very important. Holy, holy, holy. All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. In a few minutes, we're going to go get our keys right now and coming back in here. We're going to get a chance to sing together and approach this God. And I pray we do it with holiness and reverence. Go get your kids. God bless.